All right, Rabbosai, good evening. Parshas of Tazria Metzora. So I want to share with you a double parsha. So I want to share with you what I think is a really beautiful idea, as Rabbi Nachman brings down, and a short idea, but a fascinating one nevertheless. So take a look. So the pasuk is Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. Ubayom Hashmini Imol B'Sa'ar L'Aso. On the eighth day, you shall circumcise the child. So remember again, the beginning of Parshas Tazria speaks out the halachas of childbirth. The Torah talks about Yimei Toar, Yimei Tumah. Okay, then after the laws of childbirth for boys and for girls, Torah says on the eighth day you give a bris milah. Fine. So Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful insight over here. He points out, look at paragraph A. Vayom Hashmini Imol B'Sa'ar L'Aso. Tzrichin Lavor Al HaTinok Shiva Yimei Arla Va'achar Kach B'Shmini Imol L'Noso. So, you know, in general, there's a very interesting concept that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be circumcised, so why put the extra piece of skin there altogether? In other words, just why create man in a state of imperfection? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously feels, you know, again, remember, it's not just the fact that, it's not just the pshat that bris milah is a mitzvah. It's that, remember, there's something about the arla, there's something about the foreskin, there's something about a lack of circumcision, which represents some type of barrier. That's it. Even after Avraham Avinu does all of his incredible spiritually heroic activity, leaving his homeland, everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, his halech lefanei beitamim, if you want to be complete, you need to do bris milah. You need to do bris milah. Meaning, without, and that's why, again, if you look at it, by the way, in halacha, an orel, who is an uncircumcised Jew, is really prevented from being part of Kal Yisrael in many different ways. Most notably, we just learned this halacha, Korban Pesach. Right? Remember, Korban Pesach is the most basic celebration of our nationhood. And the idea that an Orel can't participate in that tells you that to a certain degree, though, we would never say that a Jew who's not circumcised is not Jewish. That's a false statement. But there's clearly something missing in his Yiddishkeit. There's clearly something that's absent there. So if we're so integral to be circumcised, why not just create us like that? Why create the arla that has to be removed? So, you know, the Gemara records a whole conversation between Rabbi Akiva and Ternus Rufus about this. So the simple pshat is that it's a metaphor for life. And the metaphor for life is that greatness isn't just handed to you on a silver platter. If you want greatness, ultimately, again, you have to run after it, and you have to sacrifice for it, and you have to give up of yourself for it, and you have to push yourself for it, and sometimes you have to endure discomfort and pain for it. Greatness does not show up at your doorstep. Greatness is not handed to you. Greatness is earned, ultimately, again, through incredible Mesiras Nefesh. That's why, again, what do we say to Bris Milah? We give the Bris Milah to the little boy, and what do we say to him? Ba'amar lach b'damayi chayi, ba'amar lach b'damayi chayi. So I always thought to myself, you know, you say to the baby, through your blood, we will live. But I always thought to myself, can you imagine, like, what a welcome to Klal Yisrael. Hey, welcome to the Jewish people, right? No pressure, right? And by the way, right, so happy you've been a part of the Jewish people for 8 days. Now we're going to subject you to this entire... So again, the basic pshat that often we understand is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that greatness must be earned. Greatness must be earned. And greatness is earned through hard work, through sacrifice, through blood, through sweat, through tears, through difficulty, through pain, through adversity. Okay. Rabbi Nachman has a dramatically different approach. He says, Tzrichin lavar ala tinok shiva yimei arla, va'achar kach b'shmini malanoso. Now, Rabbi Nachman points out something very interesting. If you'll notice again, we don't do a bris milah immediately upon when the baby's born. But rather, again, there's a minimum 7-day waiting period. Can't give a bris milah before the eighth day. So, it could be the Ribbono Shel Olam and his wisdom also understood that maybe there are certain biological issues, maybe it would be dangerous to give a baby a bris milah, but it is interesting that it's not the pshat that like a day later, 2 days later, there's a significant 7 days. Remember, 7 days represents a week, represents a unit of life. So the idea is that the child has to go through at least a 7-day unit of existence while being uncircumcised before bris milah comes. So what's the pshat? V'achar kach, b'shmini malan also. Listen to what he writes. And it's not the only time we see this. Kizel b'chinas ma'she eretz Yisrael, hoiso t'chila b'yad kinan, v'achar kach, nitna li Yisrael. So the Rebbe says something very interesting. He says, we see this dynamic, that there are certain things that undergo a period of impurity before being redeemed. For example, eretz Yisrael. Very apropos on Matzah Yom Atzmut, right? So what about Eretz Yisrael? was in the hands of the Canaanite nations for generations. And only afterwards was it given to Am Yisrael. It's like, what's the pshat? Why couldn't Klal Yisrael ultimately again get Eretz Yisrael earlier? And even better, even if Klal Yisrael is not going to be there, then what? Keep it empty. Keep it desolate. If it's our land, why does someone else have to occupy it? But you see, even Eretz Yisrael, first it has to be in the hands of the Canaanim, and then only afterwards does it make it to Am Yisrael. Paragraph B. U'mashahaya olam miskayim b'tchila eshim b'shisha doros b'lo Torah, v'achakach nitna Torah. Another example. The world existed for 26 generations prior to Sinaitic revelation. And it was only after 26 generations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give the Torah. So what's the pshat? So you see the common denominator amongst all of these particular examples? There's always a period of impurity, right? Before, ultimately, again, the period of purity. The child has to be uncircumcised for a minimum of 7 days a week, a significant unit of time, and only then can have bris milah. Eretz Yisrael has to be in the hands of the Canaanim before it's transferred to Am Yisrael. The world has to exist 26 generations without Torah, and only then is Torah given to Klal Yisrael. So there's this paradigm that first there is darkness, then there is light. First there is impurity, then there is holiness. What's the pshat? So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, "Ube'emes." I'm sorry, look at the underlying line in paragraph B. Ki behechrich shetakdim haklipa lepri. So the Rebbe says, the lesson is that the shell must always come before the fruit. The shell, the klipa, the covering, must always come before the fruit. What does that mean? Ube'emes gam be'ez shlitas haklipa hakodemes lepri. Dahainu bimei arlo be'ez she'eret yisro b'yad kenan. Ube'eshim v'shisha doros achla nitna Torah. Gam az mekablin chiyos rak me'Hashem yisbarach. So listen to this metaphor that the Rebbe says. You know, when a fruit grows, so very often what forms first? The shell, right? The outer klipa forms first, and the fruit comes afterwards. Now, the outer shell is bitter. The outer shell is often not even edible. But yet it comes first, and it's what paves the way for the fruit to come afterwards. The Rebbe says, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. You don't start with the pre. You don't start with the finished product. You don't start with the beauty. You don't start with the holiness. You begin with the klipa. You begin with the shell. What's the message there? See, the amazing part is that even in that moment when the fruit is growing, and it's only the shell, it's not the fruit, there's a vitality in that growth. Even though nothing's edible, and even though, again, you can't even see the fruit, there's a vitality that's embedded in there. Dahainu, bimei or the paragraph C, be'ez sheretz yisrael b'yad kenan, be'ez v'shish dov zesel nil Torah, gam az mekablin chiyus, rak me'Hashem yisbarach. Shemechaye es kulam b'chasdo agadol, shubichinas ha-Torah ha-ne'elames. So the Rebbe says something amazing. So the Rebbe says, the child for the first 7 days, before he has a bris milah, so who's sustaining that child? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam. Eretz Yisrael is in the hands of the Canaanim, doing all kinds of terrible things in the land, but yet the land is still vital. Who's sustaining the land? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world exists for 26 generations without a Torah. Who's sustaining the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, what's the message? The message ultimately is, that even in the absence of holiness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still sustains. Even in the absence of purity, the Ribbono Shel Olam still showers his bracha upon the entity. We'll plug this in just a moment. He goes on, Va'al yedezeh ikir kiyam ha'olam. Ki al yedezeh afilu kisha adam chotei. Upogim bevis kodesh, ukishapogim chasasholom bevis kodesh, azainimsha chasasholom orla dechapialabris. Now the Rebbe here launches into a different discussion about what he calls Kedusha Sabris. Kedusha Sabris, Rabbi Nachman writes extensively about the concept of sexual morality. The idea, remember, you know, the world is not different. The world is always the same. The struggles of man are the struggles of man. Right? The mediums may change as time changes, but the struggles are the struggles. Morality and sexual purity is something that is a fundamental challenge to mankind. To man. Times Rabbi Nachman, times Avraham Avinu, and now. There's nothing different. And Rabbi Nachman often speaks about Kiddushas HaBris, how kind of everything in life stems from the holiness of the bris. When he says kedusha sabris, he's literally referring like the kedusha of the makom of the bris, the kedusha of the makomila, the ability to sanctify and uplift sexual life, which again is an interesting thing because remember in Yiddishkeit, that does not translate into abstinence, which is an incredible thing. Other religions understand the only way to achieve sexual purity is ultimately through abstinence. That's not the case in Yiddishkeit. In fact, again, it's an entire process of lifting it up to be something holy, lifting it up to be something, to be a form of avodas Hashem. So we're not gonna get into that tonight. We're just gonna kind of use the Rebbe's concept on a little bit more of an aerial view level. And what the Rebbe is saying is as follows: the Rebbe is saying when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us is something so exceptionally profound that even when the world is dark, I am still there. Even when that baby is an Orel, baby's uncircumcised, and therefore to a certain degree not fully part of Klal Yisrael, I'm still with him. Even when Eretz Yisrael is in the hands of the Canaanim and impure, I'm still there. Even when the world doesn't have Torah for 26 generations, I am still present. The messaging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm always by your side. Even when things are dark, and even when things are not good, and when we say dark over here, we don't necessarily refer to difficulty or adversity or tragedy. We're talking about a personal darkness. Even when I am without holiness, even when I am without bris milah, even when I am without Eretz Yisrael, even when I am without Torah, because we all have periods like that of time where we are without the kedusha of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, never think for a second I ever leave your side. Never think for a second I ever walk away or turn my back on you just because you're not doing what I want. And we'll say, herein lies what I think is one of the fundamental distinctions between our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human relationships. Right? In the world of human relationships, you could love someone very much. But what? At a certain point in time, there's a break point. Meaning, I can do stuff, but at a certain point in time, my significant other, or whoever, it doesn't have to be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a sibling, it could be a friend, whoever you have a close relationship with, so you can mess up in that relationship, but there comes a certain point in time where if you mess up too much, it's done. It's done. Human relationships can't endure. They can't endure sustained failure. They just can't. And why? Because we're people. Because we have finite emotional resources. So if someone with whom I am in a relationship with, and again, you can fill in the blank, it doesn't matter whatever the relationship is, and I'm constantly failing that person, they might love me to pieces and want to forgive me over and over and over. There's a limit. There's a cap. There's only one relationship that has an unending supply of love, forgiveness, and patience. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Ribono Shel Olam sets up a paradigm for us that gives us a little bit of an insight into His love for us. What's the example? So again, child comes into this world, and the child ultimately is uncircumcised for the first 7 days without the Kiddusha of Bris. Who sustains that child? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you don't have the Kiddusha of Bris, I'm by your side. Eretz Yisrael is being defiled by all of this Canaanite, negative Canaanite behavior. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows His Shekhinah to still be in that land. Because even when the land is defiled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there. There's no Torah for 26 generations. No Torah. No Torah for 26 generations. We always operate with the idea that the world cannot exist without Torah. Well, it did for 26 generations. So what sustained the world for 26 generations if there wasn't Torah? And the answer is the love of the Ribono Shel Olam. And I will say the Rebbe says that the message for us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves our side. The message for us is that no matter how dark or spiritually dormant I may be, no matter how void of holiness I may be, the Ribono Shel Olam never leaves my side. Turn the page. Look at paragraph E. Vim Kain. He says, Tekif, Kisha Adam, by the underlying line of paragraph E. Vim Kain, Tekif, Kisha Adam Pogim Babris Chas V'Shalom. The way the world works is that if you go ahead and, or the way the world should work is that if I commit an avera, I trespass against the word of God, then what should happen? The world pretty much just go back to tohu vavohu, should be nothingness. In other words, the world was created for us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment that I don't live up, that we don't live up to that mandate, is the moment that the world to a certain degree loses its entire purpose of existence. But yet something amazing happens. Ach Hashem Yisbarach, Chafetz Chesed, Va'al Kein Hiktim HaKlipa, Lepri, V'Hiktim Shiva Yemei Arla, Kodem Hamila. But what does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? God in His incredible Chesed, what does He do? He makes the shell before the fruit. The shell always comes before the fruit. The shell is not sweet. The shell is often not edible. The shell may not even be pleasant to look at. But you know what the shell does do? It sustains future growth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where even sometimes when there's no pre, even when there's no pre, there's no fruit of productive spiritual activity, there's always a klipa. There's always a shell of divine protection. And that shell of divine protection allows us to germinate within, allows us to regrow, allows us to go ahead and regroup within, gives us the space to be able to go ahead and once again shine. He goes on, he says, therefore, V'hiktim shivei yemei arla kodem amila, lahoro shegami mei arla shemisbarach no sin chiyas bechazdo agadol, shebechinas ha-Torah ha-ne'alemes, va'al yidei zeh, ki sha'odem chotei chasashon pogim bebris, Hashem Yisbarach Mekaimo Bechasta Bebechinas Ator Ne'alemes U'ma'arich Apo Achi Yashuv. Therefore, if we bring this all together, the Rebbe really teaches us an incredible Yisod, which after I was like, wow, I was so excited when I saw this afternoon, because it's true, like there's a lot of things in Yiddishkeit like this, where there is a period of spiritual dormancy, or darkness, or absence of spirituality, and only then is there a burst of spiritual energy. Baby is born, 7 days, nothing, 8th day, bris. Eretz Yisrael, generations, nothing, then Am Yisrael comes in. Torah, 26 generations, nothing, then Kabbalah Satorah. What sustains the world during those times of darkness? The Ribbono Shel Olam's love, the Ribbono Shel Olam's chesed. And what's true for the baby, what is true ultimately for Eretz Yisrael, what is true for the world, is true for us as well. But so we all have periods of darkness, and periods where again, I don't feel like I have like a drop of Kiddusha in my entire life. And in those moments, I often think, I know where I'm holding. The Ribbono Shel Olam for sure doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And Rabbi Nachman says, whenever you think that, just open up Parashas Tazria. Ubayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Arloso. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us to wait till day 8? Because He wants there to be 7 days without any Kiddusha, and then an 8th day of Kiddusha. And when we look at that baby for 7 days, we know there's only one thing sustaining that helpless little baby, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll say very often in life, we're that same baby. Helpless, without holiness, without a bris. But the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave that baby's side, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves our side as well. Even when we have forsaken Him, and even when we're not actualizing our potential, even when we have no inherent holiness, even when we walk away from Him, the Ribbono Shel Olam always remains by us. That, says the Rebbe, is the message of the Bris. That's the message of Kabbalah Satorah. That's the message of Eretz Yisrael. And again, it's an incredibly life-affirming message. So the next time we get down, right, and the next time ultimately again we feel a bit spiritually worthless, and we assume we're ready to walk away from ourselves, which a lot of people do, because we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has walked away from us. We remember this piece by the Rebbe. Even when I possess no Kiddusha, even when I'm dark, even when I'm 26 generations without Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam never leaves my side.
It's true. It's just like, you know, I think 8 is good, but it's supernatural a little bit.
Absolutely. Right.
I find that because 7 is the week, the regular, right. But 8, not just saying 8th day, we know from also very...
It's very true.
Saris, it's like...
Beautiful.
Lamal
Minateva.
Yes. Yeah. So...
Beautiful thought.
Maybe 7 has to be... Everyone, all humans.
Right. Everybody has their 7 days where they're in Aral. It's a beautiful thought. Beautiful.
I think it was the PSM, sorry, Rabbi, who said the last week's parasha about Yidom. right, Aaron?
He said,
oh, interesting.
So that's the they're talking beautiful. About the survival and how they did it. That women's was what he did. That was his. That's how.
Women's
he,
trip to
he was. Yeah. One thing I got him in the Pesach Kodesh was not the Pesach, right? The Pesach Kodesh was the other. So
correct.
The Pesach survived. So
no. The Pesach was is the Pesach Kodesh.
The one who survived and all 11 children were killed.
Well, it's the best. Easiest
what the Baba Vareta?
No, it was
it's like 2 days.